fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk this week, began yesterday, talking about what's the big picture of what God is doing with each and every one of us? What is he calling us to do? What's his will? What's his plan? What is God's call? What does he want me to do with my life? And many times we struggle with that question. There's real serious discernment. Every disciple, every believer has what's God's particular call in my life? What does he want me to do? And I think to be able to discern the specific concrete things on a daily basis in our lives is to know the big picture and to be confident and clear about God's larger purpose that he's working in our lives. I began yesterday talking from a section in Lumen Gentium chapter 36. What's Lumen Gentium? It's a document from the Second Vatican Council, a very important one, which the church fathers, the bishops of the world gathered together at the Second Vatican Council to really rearticulate again, what is the church's fundamental mission in the world, and to prepare the church to be more effective in her mission, but also to understand her fundamental identity. And in this section, the bishops do a beautiful job of, in a very simple way, summarizing the big picture of what God is accomplishing in his church, and then what his plan is for each one of us as members of the church. Summarize it in two ways, the universal call to holiness and the universal call to mission. Universal meaning it's for everybody. Every single baptized person, literally every human being, they don't all know it yet, but every human being is called to holiness. What is holiness? To be set apart for God, to belong to God, to be in right relationship with God. To have God in a distinct, in a particular way, the Christian understanding is having Christ cleanse us of all that separates us from God, which is our sin, and to make it possible for us to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the heart of it. Salvation is God coming to us. Holiness is God's work in us. And we cooperate with God's saving work. We cooperate with God's work of leading us to perfection and being conforming to the image of his beloved Son. That beautiful section, I'll just read it again. It's paragraph 36 from Lumen Gentium. It says, Christ, becoming obedient even unto death, and because of this exalted by the Father, entered into the glory of his kingdom. To him all things are made subject, all things are made subject, until he subjects himself and all created things to the Father, that God may be all in all. What is Jesus doing now? Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, other places, the scripture makes it clear. He's subjecting all of God's creation, which was led into rebellion by the enemy. Jesus has come. He came on the cross to defeat Satan and his rebellion against God and to cleanse the human race and set us free from the reign of what St. Paul describes as the reign of sin and death, which keeps us separated from God and enemies of God, really is what scripture, the way scripture puts it. Separated from God, enemies of God. And now because of Christ's mercy and his love coming to us, he breaks that stronghold because he's bringing everything that God created, everything that is meant to exist for God, but that has been in rebellion against God, he's bringing it back. Jesus' mission is to bring everything in subjection under his authority. He's the obedient Son, that beautiful passage. He was obedient unto death, and therefore he was exalted at the right hand of the Father. He exists now in all power and glory in heaven, and he's very much at work. He's accomplishing what the Father purposed for him, and that is, Son, bring everything back under, in unity, under your authority, into our kingdom. This is what Jesus is doing. He's bringing everything in subjection to him. He's done that first by destroying the power of sin and death on the cross, destroying Satan's power. He transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the beloved Son himself. So there's a transfer of kingdoms that has to happen. That is, we come out from under the reign of sin, we come out from under the domination of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we now enter into Christ's kingdom. And how does that happen? Through the waters of baptism. He makes it clear, unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven, John chapter 3. You have to be born again. To come into the kingdom of God is not my work. It's not simply a work of my will. As I said yesterday, Jesus isn't just standing on the sidelines and cheering us to get going and make something happen. What he's saying is Come and receive my diagnosis of your condition. Let me receive the antidote that I have for you. Receive the gift of my own spirit. The prophets of the Old Testament, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, spoke about the coming of the Holy Spirit, what God's plan was and God's plan is for the human race, the big picture, and what, if you're baptized, is unfolding in your life. And if you don't know Christ yet, and you've never been baptized, you happen to be listening today, this is the amazing thing that God wants to do in your life. This is Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19. I will put my spirit within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh, so that they may follow my statutes and keep my ordinances and obey them. A heart of flesh, not a heart that's hardened toward God and God's command, not a heart that fears if I follow God, it's going to limit me. It's going to somehow marginalize me. It's going to substitute for my freedom. I'm not going to be able to be everything I was meant to be. God is like a threat. When we're in sin, when we're under the reign of sin and death, our minds are darkened, subject to futility. And that futility is expressed in such a way that I actually believe that following God and God's commands is going to inhibit me. I'm not going to be able to be happy. I won't be able to be free. I won't be able to come into fulfillment. And all the things that I think are most important for me, somehow, if I'm under God's reign and authority, it's going to limit me. Jean-Paul Sartre, the atheist existentialist, the French philosopher, said, if God exists, man can't be free. Therefore, God can't exist, man has to be free, right? If God exists, I can't be free. Why? Because there's an external authority telling me what to do. And I have to, for me to be human, I have to create myself by my own freedom and my own decisions. It has to come from me and from no one else. So it's the denial of God's majesty and authority, the denial that we have a purpose and a design in this life that God has given to us. And in part, he has to deny God in the existence of God because he wants to create himself. He wants to be the source, the origin of his own identity. By his own choices, he forms his own life. So God, in that way of thinking, is a threat. That's a hardened heart. That's a fearful heart. That's a heart that's under the deception of the power of darkness. What Jesus came to do is to reveal to us in his life, his obedience, his death, to say, this is what you're made for. Follow me. Watch me. Look at me. I reveal to you the Father, your origin. I reveal to you the love of the Father, his orientation to you. I reveal to you what it means to become a fulfilled human being, and that is to trust the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. To love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And so the prophet Ezekiel is saying, how is that possible? God sees the hard-hearted condition of the human race. He's going to give us a new heart. He's going to do that by pouring out his Holy Spirit. He's going to remove the heart of stone that makes the heart impenetrable. That is the seat of our decision, the core of our being, impenetrable to God's command and God's will. That's a death-directed destiny we're on when we're in that position. Jesus came to break the momentum of sin that's leading us in that direction. And he brings us back to the Father, and he comes to save us by giving us a new heart. For what reason? So that we will follow his statutes, keep his ordinances, and obey them. Well, is God just into exercising his authority? Is that what this is all about, that he needs everybody to obey him? That's what a lot of people want to say today. God doesn't need anything. I don't add a single thing to God's life. God's commandments are the way to human freedom, to human flourishing, to human happiness. That's what it's about. Jesus has come to, he said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. I came that you might have my joy and have it to the full. It's about joy. It's about human fulfillment. We cannot live in joy. We cannot know peace if we don't know who we are. If we're living in a way that's inconsistent, the very purpose for which we're made. Ezekiel 36, 26, I will sprinkle clean water upon you. Right? It's a foreshadowing. It's an anticipation of baptism. You shall be clean from all your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you. A new spirit I will put within you. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and to be careful to observe my ordinances. This is why the church is so keen on bearing witness to the fact that obeying God really matters, the commandments of God, and not ignoring the commandments of God. It's crucial for our happiness and our fulfillment. The church doesn't exist just to take the air out of the room and destroy everybody's weekend. The church exists to help us connect with what the prophet Ezekiel is talking about right here. And so you move the calendar forward to the apostle John in his first letter. And he says, "And by this we know that Christ abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given to us." How do I know? Jesus said, "I'm with you always." How do I know that he's with me always? "Because in baptism I've received the gift of the Holy Spirit." 1 John 4:13. "This is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us his Spirit." This is how we know. You see, faith is not just a blind leap. Faith is reasonable, it's rational. I know, and it has an experiential dimension. John knows by virtue of the fact that he was baptized in the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, but also that he's experienced the work of the Holy Spirit in him. He knows there's a power in him. As the council put it, Christ communicated his royal power to his disciples so they could be constituted in freedom and they might conquer sin within themselves. That's how holiness comes about. We cooperate with God, who gives us power and a capacity to live a new way of life. He orients our heart toward love. In Lumen Gentium, paragraph 40, he himself stands as the author and consummator of this holiness of life, that is Jesus himself. "Be you therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect." That's the call to holiness. We're called to perfection. The perfection of what? Of love, of charity. "Indeed, he sent," that is Jesus sent, "the Holy Spirit upon all men and women, that he might move them to inwardly love God with their whole heart, their whole soul, with all their mind and all their strength, and that they might love each other as Christ loves them." This is the heart of what holiness is about. God, the Son of God, who came and lived this truth, he was obedient to the Father even unto death. He trusted the Father with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. That same Spirit that was in Jesus, that raised Jesus from the dead, that conquered all the rebellion of the world and gave the Father an offering of a pure heart that trusted him, was obedient to him. It's that same Spirit, the Council Fathers, all the bishops of the world remind us. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit upon all that he might move them inwardly to love God. Then too, by God's gift, they must hold on to and complete in their lives this holiness that they have received. Holiness is first a gift. It's received by God. But God doesn't force it on us. We have to keep saying yes. Yes, each day to the gift of the Holy Spirit in obedience to God. That's the fundamental work that God wants to do in us so that we can become saints and live with him forever. God bless you.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'm delighted to be able to offer you my new booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message? At the heart of the new evangelization is a fresh proclamation of the gospel. But for many people, even many Catholics, they wonder, what is the message? What exactly is at the heart of that proclamation? In this simple booklet, The New Evangelization, What's Our Message?, I take a look at and present in a very specific and simple way what is the core of what we're called to proclaim in this great and important missionary moment in the history of the church. If you'd like a free copy, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.